God laughs at the enemy. So really, what have we got to be worried about? He's in control. He's in charge. He knows what's happening in this world. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms 2, to the second Psalms, which was written especially for this time, which is the foundation, if you would, of what's happening in this world even at this time. And the problem is what? Well, let's get into verse 1 with his blessings and come to an understanding here. Psalms 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? This word rage is, why does, in the Hebrew, let me speak in Hebrew a moment. The goy, a symbol to most, in anger, for bad. Why do they gather for bad, like blowing people up? Coming against God's children, coming against those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people imagine a vain thing. A vain thing means it's empty. Their imaginations run away with them. Unfortunately, sometimes even in your own camp, you have people that imagine vain things, imagine they're something they're not. Okay. Our Father's in control. We are under Him equally. And what a fantastic way to have it. And what a pleasure it is to serve Him. But that's the question. Do you know why they rage? Well, we're going to find out. Verse 2. The kings, notice the lowercase, that's not our king, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying. Now, I want you to make it very clear in your mind. What is their counsel? We have so many people today depend on the counsel of the United Nations. And you're going to hear a great deal about that. We need to turn this back over to the United Nations. What did the United Nations do in Iraq when they drew their first, when first blood was drawn from them? They saddled up and rode out of town, big time. You know. So, I mean, if you're going to count on people like that, you're in one big heap of hurt. So you mark politicians that say we need to turn this over to the United Nations. In the first place, the United Nations, not that it's anything against the third power nations, but most of them aren't free even. A lot of them aren't. They serve under monarchies, dictators, and what have you, and we want them to tell us what to do, this great nation that God has blessed. You know, I remember, as far as counting on the United Nations against nations, I had the privilege of serving this nation under that blue flag, the United Nations flag. Yes, I fought under it in Korea. But who did the fighting? I mean, we had the whole United Nations behind us. They were really in there. Do you know who the troops were? American, British Royal Marines. And that's the American Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Army, the Australians, and some of the greatest soldiers there, of course. We don't have in this one. They kind of reneged on us. But basically, that was it. You might as well say that was it. So, What when the United Nations is at the control, we still do it. Why? We're the only superpower left. Why? Because we listen to our Father. And you have judges today that are trying to move God's name from our court system, from law. God doesn't, he laughs about that only in scorn. He doesn't like it. Okay, it is important that that I said the word heathen in verse 1 is goy. Goy in the Hebrew tongue, it means an assembly of people. It has not so much to do with nationality, but a frame of mind. People that don't believe in God. People that don't believe in Christ. Verse 3. What is it that they say? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is a religious war that we're in. It truly is. I mean, you can take all the signs away from it you want, but you have fanatics in certain religions. Every religion has its fanatics. But it is a religious war, and it is being fought. Verse 4, he that sitteth in the heavens, now who's that? Well, I hope you know it's our Father, it's Yahweh, it's Almighty God. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Now, that is a very important statement, and it doesn't say it in the English. It doesn't say it at all. The word derision in the Hebrew is L-A-A-G, and it is pronounced loagha, loag. And what it means is, it means a laughing, yes, but more so it means to deride, to laugh at, to mock, to speak unintelligibly as imitating a foreigner. And that's important. That's because, why? They're heathen. There's no way they can understand salvation. There's no way they can understand the Word of God until the frame of mind is set that they wish to follow our Father. So our Father laughs at them. So how serious do you take it? Well, it's very serious when we lose loved ones there and fellow citizens. That's very serious. But when you consider what it accomplishes, that it has freed millions and given them freedom from rape, pillage, a master that had no reason or rhyme to taking a life, just like that, snuff it out. And God does hold them. I mean, He allows them only. Why? Because all they have would have, you might say, well, is God being unfair then that He talks to them in a stammer? Okay, you can kind of get this the way He caused people to stammer in Isaiah, and some people think it was a beautiful thing. No, God was mocking. It's in irony. God speaks in a very clear tongue, but it is the heathen ear that cannot accept it or hear it. I mean, you know, you might say, well, that's kind of hard to understand. Oh? Well, let me ask you something. Most of you are very familiar with a beautiful truth, and you've tried to share it with family. What did they say? Well, you call them my family heathen? Well, I don't know. Are they? You know, it's kind of like, do they understand or do they not? And that's not an insult necessarily, okay? But it's like a foreign language to them, the truth is. So that word is a very important word. It explains what God, the situation where that you can grasp a better understanding of why people can't hear you. Because it's as if it's a foreign tongue. The real truth, and how to lead one into sanity of understanding the times, because it's very simple. The times are, it's written, it's happening exactly as it's written, and there's no need for anyone to be upset or anguished about it. God is in control, and it's going down exactly as He states it will. And you're simply a part of that. And that's what makes it fantastic, that whomsoever will follow Him, believe Him. He's going to give you the credentials here in a moment of what sets people, His people, those that follow Christ, those that follow Him, aside from heathen. Okay. And again, you cannot, heathen could be even translated nation, but I don't like it translated nation. Because it's the Hebrew word goy, and it's a very bad word. Okay, it's a bad word. I don't like it. but it's probably the lowest of the low. But it means somebody that has no ear for God, that can't follow Him or believe Him. It doesn't have to do with tribes or anything else. You know, most people that can hear Him are, rather than heathen, a Christian. Okay? Christ man. Why? Because they believe what Christ says, the message He brought. And He brought a very clear message and a very simple message. And unfortunately, some people think in deeper learning, they muddy the waters of the truth, the simplicity in which Christ came. So I think it's important that we know and understand that God speaks to them and they just can't understand it. His truth sounds like a foreign language to them, as imitating a foreigner whereby they could not understand. I tell you what, we're gonna come back to this Psalms 2, but turn with me to Psalms 37. And many of you should remember it. Psalms 37 is an acrostic psalm, and it has to do with in the Hebrew manuscripts, with a very special message. And the question is, because of the lines of music, there are three verses set aside in this 37th Psalm, and they deliver a message of why you shouldn't worry about those that seem that are wicked and they get ahead monetarily, you know. And God explains here, they're going to burn. He's aware of it. But that's hidden in the Hebrew acrostic within this verse, and it's a beautiful thing. But I want you to still maintain the thought that we gain there in Psalms 2, and go to Psalms 37, and let's pick it up with verse 7, which is one of the set aside verses. Verse 7, verse 20, and verse 34 are real special verses in this psalm that give you the answer to why the wicked always lose, though it may seem like they're getting ahead. Okay? I'll repeat that just for verse 7, verse 20, and verse 34 are set aside in acrostics in the Hebrew manuscript. You with companion Bibles, it's drawn out and explained very clearly. We're going to start with verse 7, which is basically the first answer to the question, but I want you to still maintain the thought of why do the heathen rage? That God holds them in derision. That God laughs at them. He mocks them. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Don't try to get out in front. Don't try to be some hero on your own. Do it His way. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, because of the man who bringeth. He's not going to get ahead. He's not even going to sleep good at night. Don't even fret about it. The wicked don't get ahead. They ill-gotten manna, ill-gotten gain, ill-gotten money, give someone a very short lifespan because they can't sleep with it. They're always having to look over their shoulder, knowing they're going to be caught at any minute, and they will be. Okay, so don't ever idolize someone that has wealth. It's all right to be wealthy. It's all right to be rich with the blessings of God, which can be monetarily as well. Okay, don't ever apologize for being wealthy in God's riches. You know, He promises He'll bless us when you're serving Him. Verse 8, cease from anger. That means clear your head and understand they won't get ahead. And forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't worry about it. Don't ever think they're going to get ahead of you or anything of that nature. They're not. And don't you try to cut them off at the pass doing something evil. All right to do things right. You have to use your own judgment, but don't do something evil. All right? Verse 9. For every evildoer shall be cut off, But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That's true. That's why you don't have to worry. You know why? God loves you. God can use you. Why? Because you'll listen to Him. He can, you know what? He can depend on you. He can count on you. And you know something? He considers that fantastic. Fantastic. That He knows that He can count on you. He doesn't, though He has many children, there are many just get a little too busy for Him sometimes. Verse 10. For yet a little while, just a little time, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider His place, and it shall not be. You can look at it. He's not going to be there. And we'll understand in a moment why. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth. That's better translated the humble, those that are humble before Almighty God. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Peace of mind, peace in your family, contentment, whereby your family isn't suffering rage, wrath, but understanding and peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The wicked are always trying to do something against you if you're serving God. Now, you want to get your head set for that. A lot of people get real nervous when wicked people or evil people or gossipers say something about them. They just go into orbit. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. He'll wring out their little mind. It's got to be pretty little or they wouldn't be gossiping in the first place. That's a wicked, wicked thing, you know? Gossip is repeating something that you don't know whether it's truth or not. That's awful. The way, as many people know I won't allow gossip in this church. If somebody comes up to me and brings a piece of gossip, I'm going to say, where did you hear it? Let's start backtracking. Let's get to the bottom of it. Let's find out if it's truth or not, okay? So that's the way, but hey, you don't really have to worry about it. God's going to take care of it anyway, okay? Ultimately, He does. And I'm going to tell you something. A family that allows gossip. Now there's just when you're in your family and you're talking about your good friends and it's not to do hurt. That's not necessarily gossip, okay? Gossip is that is. I'm saying in your family you can discuss the neighbor, but always bring out his good stuff too. All right. But anyway, what I mean is God takes care of our enemies. Why? He laughs at them. He mocks them. He tantalizes them. And I guarantee you a family that gossips, He's going to stir them with a big stick. They're going to be unhappy campers deluxe. Big time, okay? Why? People bring their own sentence down upon their own head. If you say something bad about somebody, God's going to bring that same thing right back on you. Big time. Okay? That's the way. If it's malicious, now understand what I'm saying. That means hurtful, harmful. He won't put up with that. He laughs about it. Why? Because He's going to take care of it. Be patient and wait upon God. Okay? Now, but those wicked, they plot. They practice, they plan, and I guess they can't help themselves. I don't know. You know, some people sure need to get a life that participate in that sort of thing. It's just, you can't hardly help feeling sorry for him. 13. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The Lord doesn't take that too serious, okay? He knows. It's in the book of life. It's written. And until that person who did the planning evilly to gossip or whatever the case might be, to do harm or hurt to a person, it's written in the book. And until they repent to Almighty God, He's still going to laugh about it. But if you think it's funny to him, it's not. He's deriding them. It's in irony. It's like, ha, 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 boy, am I going to fix your wagon. All right, that's how he laughs about it. Boy, am I anxious to fix your clock, to wind your clock. And boy, does our Father know how to do it. Okay? My meaning is, take comfort from that. You should take comfort that God laughs at our enemy, even in a way of irony, because He's going to take care of you. Why? He loves you. Again, well, why would He do that? Because He can depend on you. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. That's to say, conversation of the way. What way? Christ's way. They're always plotting against those that follow Christ. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. In other words, what they bring against you, the arrow, is going to fall on their own head. That's the way God judges. God lets the wicked pronounce their own sentence. That's fair, isn't it? That's why He's laughing. He says, okay, I see what you want. You want to shoot this one down, well, you're the one that's going to get the shot. So just stay on all you wish. And He laughs. So what do you have to worry about? Nada. Nothing. You don't have anything to worry about. God will take care of His little ones. Verse 16, A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Wicked or ill-gotten gains. They're thieves. If you have your bills paid and you have a warm place, you're rich. It's a lot better than somebody that just robbed a bank or beat some poor person or elderly person out of their Social Security money or life savings. Boy, are they in for it. God won't tolerate that. 17, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. And He will always do that. You don't have anything to worry about. 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. Don't read over that. How long is a day to you? Oh, it's a long time. He's with you. He knows every bit about it. The whole day. He's going to take care of you. And their inheritance shall be forever. How long? Forever. He is with you. That's a long time, beloved. Our Father loves you. He takes care of His own. They shall, verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. What is the famine for, according to Amos chapter 8 in the end times? Not for food. It's for hearing the word of God. We will not suffer that. He will always give us that understanding, that unintelligible speech. Doesn't fall on your ear, but the clarity and the simplicity in which Christ teaches falls upon your ear with understanding. You understand your Father's love for you, and therefore you will not starve. He will always provide that truth for you, even in the evil time, when things are rough and when it looks like the world's about to explode. Don't worry. God laughs at the enemy. Verse 20 is a part of the acrostic. It's the middle of it, okay? Verse 20. Again, the question of the acrostic. I hope this is not confusing, or one would call it digression. But why do the rich never get ahead? This is the answer. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs that they shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. In other words, have you ever seen a fat lamb on a spit? turning up over a fire, the fat drips down into the fire, and the smoke goes up forever and ever, and they don't exist. That's what forever and ever is when it's turned to smoke. That's what's going to happen to them. And just for to follow through, we're through here basically. I'll go one more verse, 21. And the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. They always do things right and fair, okay? You can count it. Their name means something to them. The last part of this is verse 34 in that acrostic of how people never get ahead. What is it? What does it say? Wait on the Lord. That's very important. Wait on the Lord. He knows what's happening. Be patient. And keep his way. Do what he says. And he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. Meaning, not only do they not get ahead, they're going to disappear into foreverness, and you're going to be there to see it. You're going to see it happen. You're going to see the wicked just go. When God spoke and nothing became everything, he speaks and someone becomes nothing. God turned as even Satan himself, as is written in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. He promised Satan will be turned to ashes from within forever and ever. Fini. Done. Over with. In hell. Forever. Ashes. So, God knows what's going on in your life. God knows what the enemies of this world are doing to our nation. Don't be uptight about it. I know it's easy to get upset. Probably what upsets me more than anything is watching pictures now that they're picking on those that are with us and actually standing on bodies or kicking at them. We had a way when I was a warrior of clearing people away from things like that. We strafed. Okay? Didn't matter what age they were, we strafed. And we need to build. If you allow people to think they can knock off a convoy and pillage it, you're creating a bunch of parrots. Pirates. Okay? I mean, that's just the way heathen don't understand except by the hand of power. And you've got to build respect. Don't worry, they respect people taking care of their own property. If you ever want to gather a bunch that are against us together, when they're standing on a body, mow them down. Okay? You got rid of that bunch, they're gone. Okay? Now that's, you may think, well boy, that's the way we did it in World War II, and that's the way we did it in Korea. Are you ashamed of us? Hey, we did all right. We were respected. We were in Korea, we would have never come out alive if we hadn't done it that way, I guarantee you. Is that a pleasant thought? No, it isn't. But God was with us, and God blessed us, and we did come out. You have to make the enemy respect you, or you're going to lose more people than ever. And don't worry, our boys, they'll catch on. It'll happen. They'll get things under control. But God is in control. And we don't have to worry about it. Things will even out. Whatever the enemy does to our people or our associates, God will bring down on their head tenfold. You watch it. It will happen. Okay, let's turn real quickly with that same thought in mind. Let's go to the 59th Psalm. Psalms 59. Verse 4. They are after David, of course, the enemies are, but how does God feel about it? Verse 4, Psalms 59. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. I haven't done anything, but they're against me anyway. Awake to help me, and behold, thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah. That means stop and rest. We're going to connect something. His prayer to God to this, and then God's explanation. Verse 6. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog and go around about the city. They work all night devising wicked things. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? You know, you have this especially on the net nowadays. People are ashamed of their name and they won't use it. So they belch out garbage under a secret name. But I'd be ship's captain number one. I'd be Old Daily over the hill. You know? And they come off with garbage. We got some that even try to make our dish, Big Mama, that we broadcast to the world on, a serpent and a spider's nest. And, you know, there are ignorant people in this world that need to get a life. But what does that do? They belch out lies. But what does that have to do with our Father? He doesn't like it. Well, their lips, even our enemies around the world that plot terrorist attacks, it's going to come down on their own head. Okay? Verse 8, But thou, O Lord, shalt laugh at them. Thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. There's that word again. They're not going to understand you. You're going to just talk to them as though they were a bunch of foreigners. They're not going to understand your message at all. Why? Well, you've experienced it yourself. You've tried to share the truth and they just block you out. Why? They don't have ears to hear. Verse 9, Because of his strength will I wait upon thee, O God, for God is my defense. Don't ever forget that. You know, there is one thing to carry equalizers around with you. You always have a bigger hammer than your enemy. All right? But your main defense is Almighty God. You know, that's an old Marines, combat Marines way of saying, always be prepared, but God is your defense. He's your commander in chief. He will always protect you and give you a tip-off of what's coming, and then, hey, you can handle it. Don't expect God to do everything for you. As long as He tips you off and you're prepared for it, take care of business. Okay? That's simple. God takes care of His own. Well, I wanted to just go out in the rose garden and be a tulip sitting there like I would come out of a hothouse. Well, hothouse tulips don't do too good out in the weather, friends. Okay? And God can't exactly utilize hothouse lilies. You got to be can-do type people. Why? You trust Him. You know He laughs at our enemies, so you certainly don't have to be afraid of them when you know He's watching them. God is my defense. He will take care of your enemies. It doesn't matter what name somebody uses, or how they try to hide. God knows exactly who they are, where they're going. He knows the enemies of the blessed nations. God bless America. God bless our allies. God bless our leaders. He knows. And He will take care of them. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. You can count on it. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. Verse 12, For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. God will crush them. Consume them in wrath, consume them, that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Shiva. That means rest, and then something else is going to be connected. But God laughs, again reiterated there. He holds our enemies in derision. Do you understand what that means? He keeps them confused. especially when they want to hear His Word. We're going to be going back to Psalms 2 now to understand what it is they won't hear. And then we'll understand why the heathen rage. That's kind of why we went through all this, is to answer that question and do it in a way that we can all come to an understanding. We dropped off with verse 4 where He said He would have them in derision. Psalms 2, let's pick it up now and follow with the thought. Psalms 2, verse 5. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. God won't put up with it, okay? Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. Well, who was that? Who was God's King? You never heard of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? There's only one, okay? No guesswork, friends. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, again, how many people hath God begotten? One. Who was that one? It was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It was Emmanuel. It was the branch. It is our Savior. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what confuses them, unfortunately. 18. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Every knee will bow to that King on the first day of the millennium. Every knee. All the nations. And you can translate this word heathen here as nations. All the nations will bow to the Lord Jesus Christ on the first day of the millennium. Will it stay that way till the end? Nope. But at least they'll have an opportunity to learn. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. You all know that that wasn't the first advent. The first advent, He came begotten as a babe to die on the cross, to bring salvation to the world. He returns on a white stallion with a rod of iron to beat in pieces those that are His enemy, that stand in His way. And what is that pottery He breaks? Our earthly bodies are vessels. And we have a change of body at that time, that is true. But some of them are going to be in the potter's field. That's where you throw old pottery away that nobody can fix. Well, His blood bought that field. 30 pieces of silver, and He can put them all together. Any one of them that will listen to Him, any one of them that will call Him Lord, He can fix that broken body and give it eternal life. Verse 10, Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. You know, the judges of the earth are in a hard way when they're trying to remove God from being. Taking His name from some of our most sacred to us, the care, statements and artifacts written from this Word of God that are our Constitution and our Declaration of Peace. Verse 11, Serve the Lord with fear, that's revere, with reverence, and rejoice with trembling. It is exciting. It is wonderful when you know that He has the enemy is in His sights. Kiss the Son. That means love the Son. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. Lest He be angry and you perish from the way, His way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Do you? When you put your trust in Him and you clear the book of life of anything you've done in the negative sense and you simply say, Father, forgive me, it's done. And occasionally we fall short. That's fine. Well, maybe it's not fine, but He paid a price that it is taken care of. But do you think this might have that this might have moved on forward to the New Testament? Well, it certainly did. Acts chapter 4 in conclusion. Acts chapter 4, what has happened here is John and Peter and some of the others, they're being given a pretty hard time. And they had just reestablished the church as Christ said they would. And these people are trying to put them away and get them to... They had just performed a great miracle. They couldn't deny that. Now they're wanting them to just leave because they were speaking truth. Let's pick it up with verse 23. Chapter 4, Acts, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. That's the church members downtown, okay? And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. You spoke, nothing became everything. You're our Father, the Creator of all. 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Because they didn't accept the Beloved. They didn't accept the Only Begotten. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. They crucified Him, okay? You've heard of that, haven't you? For the truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. Do you understand that? That's a deep thought. Think about it. God's in control. He determined exactly what would happen from the crucifixion, which prepared salvation for us, all the way down to the raging of the crowd, the mob. Some loving Him and some saying the enemies of God, crucify Him. That's the mix. There are hurtful people in this world. 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and great, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's something you want to always pray for, is boldness to be able to speak when someone asks you a question. Don't ever cast your pearls before swine, okay? But when someone asks and they want to know why you're so blessed, tell them. Gently, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And they are, even to this day, people are helped, people are healed, people are blessed, and His word is the same forever and ever. It never changes. Neither does our Father change, neither does His Son change. He is always with us. He always looks out for us. He is always our strength. And from Him, we draw that strength that lets us know the enemy is being laughed at and their day is coming. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. All, you know, there's, I guess that's one thing I've always been thankful for, that boldness is granted so that whether it hurts you or somebody else or whatever, the word is taught line by line, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and no apologies for God's word. And don't ever think that it doesn't hurt sometimes or correct the speaker as well as it does the hearer. It does. That's the way God... But that's what is beautiful about God's Word. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. They were together. and with great power gave the apostles witness, and they continued that witness. Our Father laughs at our enemies. He does to this day. So don't ever feel alone and pinned and like, I wish God would do something. He is. He works every day in bringing His Word to pass exactly as it's written. You just be bold enough to bring that truth forth. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thank You, Father, for Your truth. Thank You for that Son, Father. Thank You for the forgiveness of sin. Be with us always. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
It seems to me that this contradiction, that he contradicts himself. This is supposed to be loving God, yet loving God, but those who follow Him are the downtrodden and poor. I don't understand. What kind of bunch are you running around with? Who's downtrodden and poor? We're the richest people in the world. You don't have to apologize for being rich with God's blessings. I don't know who you're hanging out with, but you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. You know, those that are rich with ill-gotten gains have to look over their shoulder. They're a druggie, or they ripped off a bunch of poor people. They're a bunch of beggars that have ripped off somebody for their everything they've got, probably their Social Security checks. Don't worry, they don't sleep good, and they're not rich at all. But God's blessings fall upon those that serve Him. Don't you love Him? Again, Bill, you're in terribly bad shape and have totally the wrong frame of mind. Christians are rich. Most Christians have a roof over their head. They've got food for their family. They work hard and God blesses them. And they may not have as much cash as some people do. And some have a great deal of cash because God's blessing them. I'm telling you, you're hanging out with the wrong bunch of people. And God's not blessing them because they're doing something wrong, or they wouldn't be downtrodden. You see, we Christians do the trotting. So, something's wrong that you're getting in the way or something. Christians are not second-class citizens. Christians are blessed of God. This great nation, a Christian nation, basically, the richest and the only superpower in the world. How can you say we're downtrodden? Wake up. Enjoy what God's blessings have been, that have been shared in this last 225 years that this great nation, a young nation, is so vivacious, and we have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and we have our Father. Okay, Victor from California. Where is the verse in Genesis that says, I have given you all seed-bearing plants and herbs to grow and use? And what does it mean? It's Genesis 1:29. But then you want to remember also that in chapter 2 he says, those that have good uses. You know, one of the first things you learn as an old cowboy is don't let your horse eat loco weed. Or he gets crazy in the head. You let somebody smoke certain drugs and they get crazy in the head. And I am so happy. I am on such a spiritual high. No, you're a druggie. and you're drugged out of your head, and you'll end up dying young. That's what. So God never intended that anyone poison themselves. As a matter of fact, he goes quite into depth about the tulip plant and how it'll kill you, that you shouldn't use poison. Do you know what a sorcerer is in the Greek tongue in the Revelation? Pharmacia. It's where our word pharmacist, druggie, comes from, a man that deals in drugs, only not in a good way. He's very much against it. So don't, you want to be very careful, you're situated in California, don't fall into the wrong crowd. Sue from Michigan. Pastor Murray or Pastor Dennis, this is the fourth time I have asked this question. Please answer. Well, darling, this is your day. You have really come through here. Who are the Adamic people of the eighth-day creation? What does the word Adam mean? I want to show you how easy it is that you can find out for yourself. Check out in the Hebrew tongue what the word Adam means. The word Adam is in your Hebrew dictionary number 120. It means to show blood in the face or to be ruddy complected. There's only one group of people that show blood in the face and are ruddy complected. God created all of the races, and he looked and it was good. He's happy and proud with every one of them. But the Adamic eighth day through which Christ would come, that's your answer. Kenneth from North Carolina. What was the woman's name who started the rapture theory? The woman's name who started the rapture doctrine was Margaret MacDonald. It was in the year of our Lord, 1830. And she was mentally ill. And there were two preachers standing by. When she came out in tongues with the any moment doctrine, which is the rapture theory. Boy, they said, we can fill our church in a hurry if we let people believe they're going to fly away without having to do God's work. And isn't it a shame, because they've spread that stuff. It isn't biblical. As a matter of fact, in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 18 forward, God says, I'm against those that teach my people to fly to save their souls. But anyway, you'll find it in a book that we carry so that you have the historical documents, Incredible Cover-Up. And there is yet another book that will probably be more than you ever wish to know about the so-called doctrine. That'll get you started. Arbolus, what a different name. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. From New Jersey. Would you explain how to anoint your house? What scriptures do you read and how much olive oil it takes? And don't use too much. Just a drop, okay? It isn't the oil that protects the house, it's Christ. Okay, the oil simply means you are being obedient. James chapter 5 stipulates that if you have a family member that's sick, anoint them with oil, and the oil is olive oil. Okay, it's documented. You can't translate it as any other oil. Okay, I'll say it in the Hebrew. It's Eliyah. That's God's sacred name in part. Okay, and what did they do with their houses, and what were they instructed by God for Passover? You took the blood of the lamb, and you placed that blood on the threshold and on the doorpost, and Satan was forced to pass over. The death angel was forced to pass over. So it is to this day. If you take the oil of our people, and you just touch it, just a tip on your finger, and ask, be sure and do it in the name of Jesus Christ. I order that nothing can come across this threshold that is evil, piggyback or otherwise. They got to park them outside. All right? And that does bless that. Christ will honor that. You're asking Him. It isn't the oil that does it, but the oil shows your obedience, that you have the faith to obey what He tells you to do. Again, James chapter 5. Frank from South Carolina. Would you explain Revelation chapter 20, verses 5, 10, 13, and 14? Let me just explain verse 5, and verse 10 is where Satan himself is cast into hell, the pit. But verse 5 says, the rest of the dead must remain dead until the end of the 1,000 years. Which means what? It means that those that, and you need to, there is a difference in the word dead as it is utilized here, nikos and nikros. You need to know the difference. It means they're spiritually dead. They're not dead like we think of dead flesh, because there is no flesh any longer in the millennium. They're still spiritually dead. Why? They didn't make it. They were misled. And at the end of the 1,000 years, when Satan is released a short season, they may take part in the second resurrection. Otherwise, they will take part in the second death. I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a lot because you love Him. You love His Word. You love to study that Word. And what's most important, it lets God know you love Him. And it makes His day. When you make His day, He's going to make your day because He loves you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God, He will always bless you. Now, there's one thing that is most important, and you listen to me very carefully. This is very important, that you stay in His Word every day in His Word. Set aside a few minutes. Every day, and it's a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The book of